everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight right here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world. Glad to have you aboard. We got a great program. Part three of the Holy Grail. We're going to talk to you tonight about the infusion of the blood of the snake into the royal blood of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, this snake blood has dominated over the house of Israel, put Israel in bondage, and actually the venom of the snake is put him to sleep, and we're going to prove it to you, but he's going to awaken soon. So you stay tuned. You don't want to miss tonight's program. I'll be right back. Yahweh bless you. Everybody in this room knows. Well, ladies and gentlemen, everybody knows that we're going to talk to you tonight about the snake venom and how it got into the house of Israel. We want you to pull up a chair. You could call someone and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy's on tonight. You don't want to miss this. This is the most intriguing part of the great mystery of how the snake got into the house of Israel. It is all biblical, and we prove it. We're going into the genealogy later on in part 4 and 5. And then after that, we got a great series coming up for you. We're going to go back into the series of 20 and 12. You know, there's a lot of speculation today about what 20 and 12 is all about. And we're going to come back to you with some good information and share it to you after we finish the Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And, of course, we're dealing tonight with the unholy blood and how it actually, you know, a snake's nature is that the Bible says they will bite without charming. We know that there is a way to charm a snake, and to do that, it takes a serpent handler. And there was a man that came down in the heaven from the heavens, and he was a great serpent handler, and he beheld Satan as lightning fell from heaven, and he told us, you know, we could be bit with Satan after we got the antidote, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the truth. Everybody wants a baptism, but they don't want any truth. Everybody wants to shout and run and evangelize and save the world when the world is not to be saved. The evangelizing is to the house of Israel. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The house of Israel is a people that are called by his name. And that means bloodline genetics. And what we're teaching tonight is so far above people's heads that the average Christian, his eyes are blind and his ears are deaf, and he can't hear this message. To some, it's almost repulsive to hear Pastor Buddy teach about the penis of the great sin in the garden of the snake, when Satan, who charmed Eve and beguiled her and placed his seed, and of course the mechanics is the sexual reproduction and the organ that's involved. Some people take offense at that. They want you to talk about, well, she ate an apple off a tree. Oh, that goes over so good with the traditional world. But when you really get to the truth, now they can watch porn movies, you know, on their satellites as they download and comfort creatures of their home and when nobody watching and things of this nature. And they feel justified to hide like most people do when they have sex. Why should we hide if it wasn't a sin being condemned? The condemnation wasn't for Adam and Eve to hide because he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. The sin was that when she had a guilty conscience, when she lay with the wrong tree in the garden, And we covered that in the series 1 and 2. Tonight we're going into how we got down to the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, where that Rachel, she's pregnant, and the children are twins, and they are basically warring in her womb. She goes and asks Yahweh specifically. She wants to know what the problem is, and it's so strange. And Yahweh told her that when her days were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. And we're going to talk about Esau, Edom tonight, and how that Esau, Edom has been given over to the power of the serpent. This bloodline has been a, if you will, a giant in the genetic chain to further the blood of the snake. Now, how the and people, they say, oh, Satan can't get anybody pregnant. Well, we've done established the fact that Satan and the other trees in the garden, along with Yahweh himself, who is identified as the tree, and I can prove that to you, he was the tree of life. The other was the tree of good and evil. In other words, information was given to the genetics. Adam was made upright. The Bible said man has sought out many evil inventions. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So you can't lay the sin on Adam. The only thing that Adam did, he hearkened unto his wife when she told him about this sexual encounter and how good it was, and it was to make one right. See, that's either the tree, in other words, the carnal tree, the carnal knowledge. And that's why we feel guilty. That's why that these things are associated. That's why we sew clothes on and cover our naked bodies. Otherwise, everything would have been fine. So here we are, a touch of evil on the faithful bestowed burns like the fire of Moloch, of a sacrificial inferno. Submitting the offspring, swallowed in flame, baptismal immolation, another soul, Satan claimed. Hell on earth, a pagan returns to please the deity, children shall burn. Your children are mine, placate me with them. You worship before, you will bow again. As a young are scorched, we welcome the end. The Lord of the altar of incense unleashed, an apocalypse begins. Now, what does that mean, that little poem about the touch of evil? Well, Eve added that scripture, said, we're not even to touch any of the trees in the garden. Specifically, the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil. But this tree was so handsome and so daring and so dashing, and she was so smittered and deceived, being a weaker vessel, like I say. And then when Adam was convinced that this was a good deal, he lay with her himself after the fact. Now, the pregnancy happened in the garden. She had twins. Here, Rebecca has twins. There were twins in her womb, and the first came out red. And the Esau emblem of red communism today, and it's taken over America, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say. But it's now sank its fangs of this poison that seems right. They promise you, like Herbert Hoover, a chicken in every pot. We're going to put everybody back to work. We're going to do all these things. And the apocalypse begins with a touch of evil on the faithful bestowed. Sacrificial inferno. That's what we're getting here. Our seed, our royal seed, is being scorched. The intense heat has killed the bacterial sperm of thought and progression. We have become inoculated with the semen of Satan. He's sow discord and tares among the wheat until the tares have outnumbered the wheat. Many are those who turn aside, many are those who are deceived, many are those who are blind, many are those who are deaf. The straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that's going to find the way into the kingdom of heaven. And the other came out called Jacob. The person was Esau. And the boys grew, of course, and like I say, in verse 32, and Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, I told you that the firstborn had the biblical, God's word, right to the birthright. In this case, it wasn't the will of Yahweh for Esau to have this birthright. And so he devised a plan, and it worked well through Rebekah, who knew the whole story. Like I said, I don't think that Isaac knew the story. Esau was a man. He was a very, very manly man. And, you know, fathers don't like little wimps, little daydreaming wimps. Nobody liked Joseph. He was the same as his father. He inherited his father's characteristics. I'm talking about Jacob here. And he was a dreamer. And he scanned the heavens. And he was a prophet. The rest of them were just good old boys down at the farm. And so to please the deity, what we're talking about, the power of the gods that rule the earth, the seem-like gods, it's so easy when it's so fine of a line between heaven and earth, between right and wrong, between lightness and dark. It's a thin line between that, and Satan is so crafty to establish a traditional paganism or religious worship system. Who rules today in the world? How will she shut up? How will she establish? It's all in the scriptures. And tonight we're going to see the infusion of the blood of the snake into the house of Israel. Now we're going quickly to start with Genesis chapter 38. And by going to Genesis chapter 38, we're going to establish a gestalt and show you that one of Jacob's royal holy grail seeds, this is Judah, that he got carried away. Beauty is so striking, and it worked on Judah. He had an eye for the ladies, so to speak. And so he goes, it came to pass, verse 1, that at the time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira, and Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite. Now, remember, it grieved Isaac and Rebekah that Esau loved the daughters of Cain, the Canaanite girls. And he married into that family. Well, here, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, the craftiness of the snake who is trying to muddle the pond, the genetic pond, if you will, he's trying to sink his teeth, his poisonous teeth into the blood of Yahweh's holy prophet, Jacob's sons, who all had a birthright accredited and a place in the 12 seats of authority. If you go to the book of Revelations, you go into the city and there's 12 gates there. Now, in these 12 gates, there's the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone's going to inherit. None of Yahweh's children are going to be left out. Heaven and earth would pass away before that Yahweh would let one of his children, who are birthed into the bloodline and claimed by Yahweh. Now, all Israel is Israel, and so then we have to be very discerning of who that Yahweh has chosen and who is rejected. But here we're talking about the royal bloodline, and Satan is very wise. Now, the first son was Reuben, and according to First Chronicles chapter 5, if we go there for just a moment, we'll see now the birthright was Reuben's. Reuben was the first of Jacob's strength, so naturally, the first son of Jacob's strength, his sperm, that was deposited into his wife Leah, and out came Reuben. And Reuben was the, he was the head of the clan, let's say. And he was in line. But the Bible said he defiled his birthright by laying with, of all things, this is incest now, the same sin, if you will, that Judah married into, the incest, the sin of Canaan. Remember when Ham, he lay with his father's wife, his own mother. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you don't believe that, do you? Well, the Bible says that he uncovered the nakedness of Noah. Now, his son, Ham, went in and laid with Noah's wife, and she conceived, but the curse came upon the third generation of Canaan. And this is where we get the mixture of an incest blood of the Holy Grail poured into the cup of incest, with Satan now taking advantage of this incestuous blood, and therefore he is now bringing his Canaanite sons from Cain over to marry close into this infectious blood right out of the house of Noah. And so then it starts that there's a genetic blood mixture that Yahweh would not choose, and he guarded zealously the bloodline of those who were accredited for the Holy Grail. Now, Satan, in trying to spoil the genetic blood pool, the gene pool, he was always trying to bring his seed into the bloodline. And here in the 25th chapter of Genesis, we see that Cain and his power to proceed to bring forth mighty sons, the kings, the holy, unholy grail kings, if you will, to sit on the seats of authority. We find that the sons of Cain were instrumental in being in particular places, raising beautiful people. See, Satan was a beautiful angel, and he can produce some pretty nice looking seed, both male and female. In this case, in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find that Jacob himself, who fathered Judah, and when Judah left the brethren, when he left the patriarch, Judah or Jacob, he went down to separated from his brethren and went down, and there he found this beautiful Canaanite woman. Now he knew the sin of marrying into the Cain race. He knew that. He knew the penalties. But he was enticed and drawn away with his own lust. And the Bible says that it's our own lust that when we're enticed and drawn away, we're not tempted by Yahweh. Yahweh didn't tempt Judah to do what he done. It was Satan with the beauty of his Canaanite daughter. This was a daughter of Satan. Literally the blood of the snake, although she was beautiful. She must have been a charming lady. I just wish that we had access to DVDs or VHS tapes that we could play back the thousands of years ago, and we could see the episode that I'm trying to explain to you, and you could see the beauty of this woman. She was dazzling, and she was a charmer. and she hooked old Jacob hook, line, and sinker, and he loved her so much. And Yahweh hated this woman. He hated the offspring. He did not, just like he didn't love Esau, he hated him. Now, listen to what the book of Romans chapter 9 would say about Esau. You say, well, Esau just turned out wrong, and so therefore, Yahweh didn't like that. No, that ain't what it said. It said before he ever done anything good or bad, he hated him. Is there something missing here? Is there something revealed to Rebecca that we're not catching here? Are we spiritually dead and don't really see or read between the lines? Could somebody please play an episode, a DVD or a VCR tape of this occasion here? Could we go back to Rebecca when she was huge and her belly was swelled with two seeds, one good and one bad? Just like Eve came out of the garden with her belly swelled. She was pregnant with two seeds, one good and one bad. One was a murderer, and one was a son of Yahweh, slain from the foundation of the world. Do you get this, ladies and gentlemen? It's a genetic war of the gods. That's all it is. That's all it's ever been. And you say, well, who are we? Well, we're basically just caught in the middle. I hate to say that. It's so sad for me to say that we're caught in the middle of this. We're pawns. The Bible said that Cain was of the wicked one, 1 John 3:12. He was the first one to inherit the ability to do evil by killing his half-brother, not his full brother. Abel was a servant of Yahweh. Likewise, the synagogue of Satan uses all manner of evil, deceit, poison, things that seem right. See, Satan is now not a murderer. Although he's guilty of that, because his deal is to kill, steal, and destroy, and he don't care how it gets done. This, you know, Satan gets blamed for a lot of things he don't do. It's the greed and the corruptness in man and in his heart that causes wars and rumors of wars and things of this nature. Satan goes along with it because with the carnage and the bloodletting, because he's a cannibal anyway. Cain was a cannibal. And Ham was persuaded by his consort, Nathan, to practice ritual murder and cannibalism. The word cannibalism comes from Canaan and the demon god Baal. Eustace Mullins stated in his book, The Curse of Canaan, it was printed in 1987, it says, by eating fair-skinned persons, he was told that his descendants would regain their superior qualities, and that's from his book, The Curse of Canaan, on page 11. Eustace Mullins, one of the greatest, most prolific writers of our century, and yet very few people have ever heard of Eustace Mullins. If you've ever read anything, please read the book by Eustace Mullins, The Curse of Canaan. The land of Israel and southern Syria, which once formed the empire of the Canaanites and the early Phoenicians, and archaeologists have found evidence of a definite connection between the Canaanites and the Phoenicians, linking them back even to the Egyptians. And Yahweh, remember, he told them not to have anything to do with them in the Canaanite. And in the Canaanite pantheon of the gods, it is similar to that of the Egyptians, the Hindus, and the Builders. This is from Norman Paulson of the Christ Consciousness, page 354, which was published in 1984. And so then, with Cain, who was of the wicked one, using his ability to kill his half-brother Abel, who was a servant of Yahweh. Likewise, we have these evil ones sitting in the seats of authority to murder you spiritually. If they can deceive you, they have done just exactly what Cain did to Abel. And the reason that Cain killed Abel was to keep or to defy or to prevent the covenant of the Son of Yahweh becoming a flesh man that he could bruise the head of the serpent. And so Satan put envy and greed, and actually he put a thought in Cain's mind, because Yahweh told him, he said, you're not the right bloodline. You're a mongolizer. Just like Cain, Esau was a type of Cain. And the Adamic race and the blood of Abraham was strictly through Isaac, not through anybody else. And though the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes of John 8:37 through 44, we're going to go there just a little bit later, but I want to mention that up front to show you that Christ knew who these Canaanites were, that they were actually Israelites. Now, I'm going to tell you that these Canaanites, who the Bible calls them walking sepulchers, they appeared beautiful. They were the chief Pharisees. They were rulers in the temple. They had taken over the temple, just like they have likewise the ability today to sit in the seats of authority around the world and even in the churches. Satan's ministers have transformed themselves into ministers of light, and they will never, never preach to you what I'm preaching. This is revealing rather than concealing. What they come to do is to conceal through righteousness. The Bible calls them preachers of righteousness, transformed into angels of light, but they're angels of wickedness. In other words, they can devise a wicked plan and then pretend to be right. The Pharisees, they went around, glorying in how righteous they were. And yet inwardly, the Bible called them wolves in sheep's clothing. It said, beware of them and beware of the scribes. Do not practice the religion of the Pharisees or the scribes. Now, scribes were the changers of the word. Add to or take from. They never rightly divided the word. We're going to find great instances where they went against the scriptures and made it sound right. In Genesis 38, when Judah, when he's laying with this Canaanite woman. Now think about this. This is the Holy Grail King, Judah, one of the faithful of the promise of the covenant that was promised to Abel, fulfilled later by our Christ. When he became a man and walked among us, this was Yahweh himself to redeem the blood of Abel and the righteous blood of all those sons of Yahweh who died in honor or defending the truth down through the centuries. And you shall be hated today if you defend it. You're not going to be loved. I'm not loved. I'm hated everywhere I go, and everything that I try to do to stop it. If I was just one of those typical bellbox preachers, it would change the whole nature and complexion about what people thought of me. But if I really want Yahweh's praise, I've got to please Him. If I want man's praise, I know what to do. I've been there. I know how to get it. I know how to be a charmer. I know how to tickle a ear or tell people what they want to hear. But when you tell them what they don't want to hear, and they do not want to hear the truth, because the truth cuts, the truth separates, the truth tears down. And in this sense, it seems wrong. When it cuts and brings blood and you're a racist or whatever they claim that you are, and it brings division in the homes, and I've had men and women to actually literally fight. I'm talking about physical blows over this message. And ladies and gentlemen, it's worth fighting for. It's certainly worth fighting against the lies in the seem-right way that the devil has installed as a traditional church worship. Because they don't want to tell you about how that Judah lost his birthright. You say, I didn't know that Judah had one. Well, he didn't. But he was in line for it. But one by one, according to the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis, where we're going to refresh and renew our acquaintance here, as we look at the blood of the snake that got into the house of Israel through the bloodline of the holy kings. Now, what we're looking here is that we have a queen of the unholy grill the kings. This is the one that we call Jacob or Judah's wife. Now, we're going to say that she must have been a charmer. Judah couldn't resist her. He lay with her, and she got pregnant. Now, the Bible says that Yahweh killed the seed. Oh, poor old Yahweh. There he goes again. Pastor Buddy is telling us that Yahweh killed a little baby. Why, my God, that is so wrong. Well, see, it seems wrong, but Yahweh had a greater plan. If you saw the great plan, you would stand up and cheer. If that would have been the last of the serpent seed in the blood line of the house of Israel, that would have been great, but it wasn't. Oh, Judah went to work again. He loved this woman. Just as soon as Er was killed by Yahweh, Judah didn't take him by the neck and twist his head off. But this little snake that came out of the belly of this Canaanite woman deserved death, and Yahweh ministered to her and killed her seed. I hate to preach this because it ain't no sweet Jesus message. And I'm sorry. I don't know why I have to do this. I don't know why I'm chosen. I don't know why I'm called to be hated and despised and ridiculed and talked about. But it's the truth. Yahweh hated Er because the Bible said he was wicked. What made him wicked? If you'd have met Cain, he was an architect. If you'd have went in Cain's office and sat down with him, you'd looked across and he's probably had a three-piece business suit on. He probably had every hair in place, and it was probably he was just a good-looking guy, very, very personable, had well-mannered, had his fingernails filed real good and no dirt under him. He didn't look evil. He didn't look dirty. He talked about engineering, building cities. Hey, man, this is part of the world. They look good. But that which is highly esteemed among men, including Er, who Yahweh hated, and he killed him, and praise Yahweh that he killed him. He said, oh, Pastor Buddy, you must be the most evilest man that ever walked on the planet. I would tonight that everything that wasn't of Yahweh would drop dead right now. But I know that that's not Yahweh's plan, and that's not going to happen. I know that the righteous are probably going to drop dead at the hands of the wicked, as opposed to the wicked going to be dropping dead at the hands of the righteous. I know the game. The Bible says to suffer. And the Bible says to agree with your enemy while you're in the way with him. But when I get on the radio, I'm in the way with Yahweh. And I have to preach you the truth to get you to understand. It takes a hard saying, and who can hear it? And Yahweh killed Er, and old Judah went to work again and got her pregnant again, and her belly began to swell. See, he didn't realize what was going on here. Judah hadn't got the message. They something dense in the house of Judah. They don't understand. They never did. They never will, because they're not spiritually discerning, although they're the house of Israel. We're going to show you how he rectified his bloodline and got a true seat back into the house to save the house of Judah. It was saved by the skin
and the wisdom of the very woman that was promised one of the sons. She was promised heir, by the way. And he was wicked. Yahweh killed him. And then the duty fell to the next oldest son, and that would have been Onan. But when Onan became big enough to marry, Yahweh killed that scudder. Killed him. Killed him dead. Now we got Yahweh, the blood, probably, basically, spiritually speaking, I don't know how he killed him. Probably just struck him dead with a heart attack or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, he died. And then Judah said, "My heavens, what's going on here?" Well, he went right back to work. He laid with this Canaanite woman again, and lo and behold, here come another son. And now, Judah says, "You know, this woman up here, Tamar, she's out of the house of my father's, but there's something wrong with her. Every time that my sons marry her, or given to her, they die. Why, what's the world's going to... She must be cursed. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Satan can persuade you and turn you around so bad that you will call good evil and evil good. It was good that Yahweh killed the first two and should have killed the third one and would have had it not been for the intervention of Judah." He's catching on now. He said, "I'm not going to give my son to that woman up there because she's bad news." So he avoided, he hid Shelah. Hid him from Tamar and refused to let the honored contract of Shelah marrying into Tamar, which is by the law. That's what he should have done. But Judah hit him. Therefore, now he's a young man. We know he's of marrying age, because when Tamar demanded that Judah hand over Shelah, she wanted seed. I'm appalled that she even wanted to marry this Canaanite. But evidently she didn't have no knowledge. Being a weaker vessel, she probably didn't know the law. I wonder what Jacob was doing in all this time. You know, Jacob, he's got some problems, just like Isaac had some problems. Sometimes Yahweh's people are so dumb and so sheep-headed, hard-headed. I mean, I've had my head cracked with the Spirit so many times it ain't even funny by being so stupid. And sometimes it takes a hard saying to bring you around to confess the truth. And if you've been whipped enough, you're going to preach the truth. I don't care if you are hated. I don't enjoy being hated. I don't enjoy being talked about and get all these angry emails sent to me that, "Well, you believe it. Satan laid with Eve and had a child." Well, that's... I've never heard of such nonsense. Well, you said penis on the radio. And you said vagina. And you said that Satan had sex with Eve. And, oh, why did you say that? You should be put off the radio. I've had them to tell me that they're going to call the radio station and have me put off for talking the truth. Things I can read and the things that I can preach. It's things that other preachers will not touch with a 10-foot pole because they fear somebody and the retaliation that they could get. Now, this message wouldn't go over good at the First Baptist, I don't think. It wouldn't go over at the all-denominational. I don't know what the hell that means, all-denominational. That means that you include anything you can chase and drag and put on the parking lot. Bless God. When you see an all-denominational church, you know there's all kinds of junk going on in that place. When you go to a First Baptist church, you expect them to say that baptism has nothing to do with saving you, but they call themselves Baptists. this world is so turned around, and the truth is rooted out of their heart, and when you preach the truth, they will kill you thinking that they're doing Yahweh a service. And that's exactly what the Bible said. It said they'll kill you thinking they're doing God a service. Ask Paul. Ask Peter. Ask John. Ask James when they cut his head off. How would you like to went into the prison where John the Baptist was up for to have his head cut off, just like James in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts? We know that John had his head took off for preaching the truth. He said, it's not lawful for you to have this man's wife. And everybody thought, well, I wonder why. Because it was interracial, that's why. It was not to be. Because there was two bloodlines here. You know what the Bible talks about in the Jewish... I want to read this out of the Jewish Encyclopedia. It tells us that Edom is modern Jewry. I'm just going to tell you what it says. In the 1905 edition records, the connection between modern-day Jews and the race of Edom, some anthropologists are inclined to associate the racial origins of the Jews not with the Semites, whose language they adopted, but with the Armenians and the Hittites in Mesopotamia, whose broad skulls and curved noses appear to have inherited from the Esau Edom, which is now called modern Jewry. But I didn't write that. What are you going to get mad at me for? You take it up with the 1905 edition of the Jewish Encyclopedia. Listen here. According to Strong's Concordance, the word Canaan means trader or merchant. Oh, dear. Merchant. Trader, merchant. Pawn shops, clothing industry. Phoenicians, as Canaanites, are derived from Ham's incestuous relationship with Nathan, the sister of Tubal-Cain, the wife of Noah, took with him in the ark. Genesis 9:18-27, 10:6-15-19. Owing to the intermarriage of their forefathers with the Canaanites, they were probably few Israelites without Phoenician, that is, the serpent's seed blood in their veins, according to Judges chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to be their sons, and served their gods. The Jews claimed to be the children of Abraham. However, they were not the true children of Abraham, because Christ said, I know you're Abraham's children, but you seek to kill me. They were killers, because he said, your father is really Cain. And how did Cain get into this Judea royal bloodline of the holy Grail kings? Very simple. Judah married a Cain seed. Judah married into the daughters of Cain. He had sons and daughters. Both of them are just as deadly and forbidden by Yahweh for us to mix our blood with these bloodlines. And today, ladies and gentlemen, these bloodlines are more prevalent now than they were 3,000 years ago. And I'm going to repeat that. The bloodlines of Cain today, sown into the vein mostly of the house of Israel, it is so polluted. You go to these, like I said, all these denominational churches, and we're all denominational down there, church, pastor, buddy, bless God, we're not denominational, we're non-denominational. Oh, okay. You're non-denominational. What's that mean? Well, that means we don't believe nothing but the Bible. Well, why don't you preach it? You go in there and it's the same stuff you get up there in the denominational churches. Non-denominational don't mean a thing except say, well, we love everybody. You can all come over here because if you're a Baptist, you're welcome over here. And if you're a Methodist, ladies and gentlemen, that's just like a snake inviting more snakes to lay in the pit. And right in the head of the snake pit is the preachers who have turned themselves into preachers of righteousness. In reality, they're the biggest liars on the block. They will not preach you Genesis chapter 38. Have you ever heard anybody except Pastor Buddy preach it? It even makes the house of Yahweh mad when I preach this one because it steps on the royal bloodline toes. But ladies and gentlemen, all that glitters is not gold, and you can be assured that all of Jacob's seed is not holy. And Christ alluded to it in John 8:44 and other scriptures, and he said, "You are not my sheep." You know why? Because they had snake's blood. They looked like sheep. They dressed in their long robes. They had an appearance, and they were great commercial and maritime people. They were very affluent. They cast a lot into the treasury. That didn't impress the father. He watched them, the big rich merchants of that day, the money changers. You understand what I'm talking about? The buyers of gold and silver, and they love money. And so there's nothing changed, ladies and gentlemen. The more things change, the more they remain the same. There's nothing changed in this message tonight that I'm preaching to you, that the devil got into the house of Judah through the woman from Cain. And her bloodline is still infused into the house of Israel, and there Yahweh said, "Not everything that is Israel is Israel." You see what I'm talking about? In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, we can discover that not everything that glitters is gold. And then there's a problem with Israel's eyesight. There will be a remnant, only a remnant. And I had to get stuck with a remnant. But I tell you, I wouldn't trade one of the remnant, the faithful, the ones that are hated and despised like I am. I would trade one of them for 10 million of the biggest denominational church in the world that don't have the truth of what I'm preaching tonight. And I'm serious as I can be. Yahweh knows the truth. And Yahweh preached the truth, and he lost his life for it. When he condemned the Pharisees, they consented how that they could put him to death because he told them that they were fornicated, adulterated seed from Genesis chapter 38. When I tell them, these denominational churches have never heard such nonsense. Oh, he is so evil. He's so vile. He talks about sex and penises and vaginas and things of this nature. Ladies and gentlemen, if Yahweh would strip everybody's clothes off, everybody that would be normal would have either a vagina or a penis. It's nothing out of the abnormal. The only abnormal thing is there's a lot of them that don't know which one they've got and can't decide, and most of these is up in the pulpits. Praise Yahweh for the truth. And Romans chapter 1 identifies the problem. And the problem is that these Canaanite, Khazars, Edomites are accurately referred to by the majority of people who call themselves Jews, and the name Jew originally meant a resident of Judea, regardless of religion, race, creed, or color, and has long since lost any association with a true Judahite. The Messiah made this clear in Revelations 2:9. And I often quote, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Oh yes, Satan's got a synagogue. It's got staples on it. It's got false prophets up in the pulpits. These Baal prophets, Lord prophets, and God prophets, prophets and Jesus' prophets are filling the land with this idiotic doctrine of Jesus loves everybody and we ought to all get along and everybody's welcome here regardless of race, creed, or color. The synagogue of Satan, Genesis, we'll talk about it in 3:15, that there would be a war of those two seeds. Well, you see, the devil has tried to make peace. How can the wicked make peace when they don't have any peace? Peace belongeth to them that have the truth. That's the only thing I have got is peace. I certainly don't have any money. I'm not affluent. I don't have many people to follow me. I get more hate mail than I do mail of praise. I get a letter from one guy every week. He's calling me everything but a preacher. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the devil is warring against the seed of Yahweh. They are bruising our heel, and we will crush the head of the serpent when the time comes and Yahweh reveals this truth to those who are of the truth, those who have made peace with the Father and come out from among the wicked and turned from their sinful ways and walked in the truth of the word of Yahweh. The Bible says that you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Judah laid with a Canaanite. And he's got little Canaanite sons. They're half Jews or half Judahites. And they're half Canaanites. Yahweh said, I know that Abraham's your father. He's referring to the side of Judah because Judah was a grandson of Abraham from Isaac. That's what he was alluding to. But he said, your father is the devil. In other words, Cain's blood was infused into these people who were racially mixed together with two bloods. The blood of the holy grail of the so-called serpent, which now has appeared to be holy when he's unholy. They appear to be righteous, but inwardly they're ravening wolves, and they're full of dead men's bones. And the righteous prophets are hated, despised, and rejected, and cast out, and ridiculed, and mocked, and made fun of, simply because they teach the truth. You know why John said the axe is laid to the root of the tree? You serpents. Talking about the bloodline. That him and the Messiah knew what was going on. The Messiah proved in John 8:44, he said, your father is Cain. Your mother is Cain. She came over and she lay with one of my sons. And you're from that union. Yahweh rectified it through Phares and Zarah. Had he not have been, the whole house of Judah would have perished. But Yahweh, who had promised that not one of his sons and their inheritors would fail to inherit as long as there's a sun and moon, that the whole 12 tribes of Israel and heaven was built upon it, and Satan has tried with everything he's got, including his own blood, to fuse into the righteous blood of Israel. And in Genesis chapter 38, you'll see the story. You'll see it in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis. You'll see it if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, when he was impregnated with two seeds. And the Bible specifically says the seed of the snake. He knew that Cain was evil. He knew that Cain was of the wicked one. If you ain't got enough sense to know you deserve to go to hell. If you won't listen to a message and a preacher, just simply because your wife might get mad at you, or your husband might get mad at you, or your daughter might get mad at you, or your son might get mad at you, or your preacher down the road might get mad at you and turn you out of the church, and you'd lose your prestige and your honor. You see, some people are so damn good they can't go to heaven. Yahweh's not looking for good people. He said he'd take the bad. He said he'd take the outcast and make them good. He took the whore that we talked about, Mary Magdalene. He took her and cast seven devils out of her and cleaned her up and made her a witness for Yahweh. Of course, the local church would have never got over her being a whore. They can't even get over the Messiah going down to the bar and being called a wine bibber and a gluttoner, a friend of publicans and sinners. They want to be friends with Christians. Christians are righteous. Well, that's what Cain was. He was a righteous Christian. His ministers are righteous Christians, and the devil has seen to it that he's got his bloodline into the house of Israel enough to deceive the very elect. But I hope and trust tonight that this part of the Holy Blood, Holy Grail will enlighten you to know and to understand that Satan has come to sow a tare, and he put the tare right in the womb of his daughter. When old Judah sowed his seed, the righteous seed, he sowed it in a tare womb. And of course, it came out half good and half bad. It came out good and evil. Yahweh ain't looking for good and evil. He's looking for right people. He's not looking for you because you're good. They ain't none good. Get over it. How righteous you claim to be. If you ain't fasted probably one week in your whole life, you haven't sought the king, you haven't went to any cave, you haven't eat from the table of the master and the deep things that belong to those who would go deep into the spirit. And the deeper you go, the more you're hated and despised because you bring forth revelations and strange things to the ears of the uncircumcised who want to love everybody. Judah followed and corrupted his ways with the Edomites and the Canaanites. Ladies and gentlemen, he went in there and he sowed his seed, his righteous seed, right into the womb of the devil, and they call themselves Jews. I know them that say they're Jews and are not. The Canaanite political parties, including the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Zealots, the Essenes, the Assassins, the Herodians, and the Scribes, these were divided into the Amorites, Hittites, Moabites, Midianites, Philistines, Amorites, Edomites, Zionites, Shephavites, Perizzites, and the affiliated tribes, and later the Edomites, who descended from Esau, intermarried with the Turks and became known as the Khazars, who eventually occupied present-day Israel. Again, quoting from Eustace Mullins, The Curse of Canaan, page 22, published in 1987. The last will and testament of Canaan read, love one another, love robbery, love lewdness, hate your masters, do not speak the truth. The Babylonian Talmud says, five things did Canaan charge his sons. Love one another, love robbery, love lewdness, hate your masters, and do not speak the truth. The last will of Canaan, Babylon Talmud, 113b. I didn't write this. I'm just quoting the Talmud. That's a book that a lot of people believe in. And so that's what it says here. At all times, in all places, we have bloodletting. Ladies and gentlemen, when it says that they sacrificed their daughters through the fire, you know what? That's been mistranslated. When it says that they were offered to Moloch, you know what that is? That's the Canaanite god. When these Israelites had sex with the daughters of Cain, it was they passed their seed through the fire of Moloch, which was they produced sons of flame of deceit. And that's exactly how the original scriptures means that they put their seed into the womb of the Canaanite women and men. Received also. They married into the Canaanite clan. They gave their sons and their daughters over to each other. And that's wrong. I've got to close, ladies and gentlemen. I'm running behind time. You listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And if you would like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. And I love you. Praise Yahweh. I'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Bless you.